And we're holding in Sanhedrin, the top of page Nun Ches, middle of Oiskuf Chof Ches. We started learning yesterday that Tfis HaNesim is Minat Torah, and that means not just that it's part of Yiddishkeit, but that there's actual sources for it in Torah Shebichsav, and we started learning where is there a source for that. So first we learned a pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan said about giving truma to Aaron HaKoyin, but then we said there's a different drasha on that pasuk that means that the Koyin that you give truma to has to be like Aaron in being a Tamad Chacham and careful with Hochos Truma V'Tahara. So now the Gemara continues with more sources on the topic of Tchias HaMesim. So Tanya, Rabbi Simoyon, Minayim the Tchias HaMesim in our Torah, where do we have a source in Torah, and Torah Shebichsav, for Tchias HaMesim? Shenema, because Hashem says to Moshe, V'gam HaKimoisi es Brisi Itam, he says that Hashem says, I've upheld my covenant with them, with the others, Losis Lohem es Eretz Knan, to give them the land of Knan. Now who's the them? Lohem Loinam, it doesn't say to you, Jewish people, Elo Lohem, but rather to them. So who's them means the others. But it wasn't given to them. So it means that they're going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim, and they're going to actually be given. Eretz Yisrael, Mekan the Tchias HaMesim in a Torah. So here you see a source in Torah for Tchias HaMesim. Now, the obvious question is, wouldn't we say that the Lohem on the Pasuk refers to the Jewish people? However, Marsha points out that these psukim at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, we're not focusing in those psukim so much on the Jewish people. Hashem is talking about the others, Va'era, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Kel Shakai, and so forth. And now, Begamaki Moses, Brisitam, Losses Lahem, Eseretz Knan. So far in that parasha, it hasn't mentioned the Jewish people yet. Afterwards, it mentions that Hashem says, "V'gamani shamayti es nakas b'nei Yisrael." I've heard the screaming of b'nei Yisrael, etc. And I remember my covenant, and therefore I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim, etc. But so far, we don't have that. Then Marsha points out there's another point as well. At the end of the parasha of Ahoyim Shemaya, in last week's parasha, you have also a similar expression where it says, "Hashem nishba Hashem la'avisechem loseis lahem." So now, for Lave Sechem means to your ancestors, so why Lahem to them? It should say Lahem to you. So there also, you see that Lahem would refer to the others. So all it is Reb Simoy, instead of quoting the Pasuk from Vahayim Shemaya, is quoting a similar Pasuk earlier in the Torah, where we also have the word Lahem, which evidently refers to the others. And the idea is, Marsha goes on to explain that with each of the others, Hashem did give it to them as a present, but it was only b'koyach, not b'poyel. Hashem tells Avraham, walk through the whole Eretz Yisrael, and that'll make it easier for the Jewish people to conquer. Yaakov, Hashem folded up the whole Eretz Yisrael underneath him in order to show Shetei Neuchel Likovish, so it'll be easy for his descendants to conquer. But it wasn't actually given to them, and in fact, later on, near the end, much, much, much later in the Perek, the Gemara is going to bring about that whole dialogue between Hashem and Moshe, when Moshe complained about, now I went to Paray and now things have gotten worse for the Jewish people, and Hashem replies with the Atasira Asher Eselafara in the first few psukim of Va'era, and Hashem tells him that I miss the Avos where they didn't complain, even though I made them promises and didn't keep them, and you're complaining. So we see, because Hashem actually made them promises and didn't actually give it to them, so now we're saying, though, that these psukim that refer to Hashem giving it to Lahem, which means Hashem will, in fact, fulfill that promise, not just to their descendants, but to them personally, and they themselves will inherit Eretz Yisrael. The Rif points out over here another point as well. Maybe you should say Lahem refers to the next generation. After all, the generation that Moshe is speaking to at this point in Mitzrayim are not going to be the ones who go into Eretz Yisrael yet. So you could say that Hashem promised that he's going to give Lahem, meaning that there's a subtle hint over there that it's not going to be for them, but rather for the next generation. But the Rif points out, the fact is, we do have people who were alive at that time who went into Eretz Yisrael. The ones below 20, the ones above 60. Also for that matter, Levim, and so forth. So therefore, it could have said Lachem, and referring to them, and if it says Lachem, then we're saying it refers to the others. Okay. So now the Gemara brings Sarak Gam Geshem Kom Simen. This is a simen for, we're going to have five individual people, or either individuals or groups of people, who are going to challenge the Chachamim about where we see a source in Torah for Tchias HaMesim, so that Serek Gam stands for the five of them, Sdukim, Roimim, Cleopatra, and we're going to go through over there. We have five different groups, and then the second group, Geshem Kom, is a Geshem Gam, is supposed to be the Gersa or whatever, is Tzerek Kom Geshem Gam Simon is really how it's supposed to be. The Gam and the Kom got mixed up. Those are the initials of the five, and the initials are primary letters in the names of five Chachamim who answered them, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, and so forth. So for each one of the challengers, there was one of the Chachamim who was able to answer them. So Shalos Tzdukim is Rabbi Gamliel. So the first one, the Tzadik of Tzorok stands for Tzdukim, and the Gimel of Geshem stands for Rabbi Gamliel. So the Tzdukim asks Rabbi Gamliel, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Machayim Meisim. Where is there a source in Tirush Bechsav for Tchias Meisim? And of course, the Tzdukim believes only in Tirush Bechsav, so they are very interested in knowing whether there's a source for it, because they didn't believe in Tchias Meisim. So do you have a source for it? So Rabbi Gamliel tried to bring them proofs from Torah, from Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and none of them they found acceptable, as we're going to go on to say now. Each of his proofs, they found a way to refute. Later on, as we're going to say, further on, then Rabbi Gamliel did find them a pasuk which they had no choice but to accept. This indeed tells us about Tchias Meisim. So, first he tells them, Minat Torah Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Parshas Sin, Parshas Vayelech, Hashem says to Moshe, Vayema Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shoichim Yamamisecha, behold, you are going to lie with your fathers, Vikom, and get up. So we see that you're going to lie with your fathers, and then you're going to get up by Tchias Meisim. So there's a proof for Tchias Meisim in Torah Shabbat. But they said no, because that's not necessarily how you read the pasuk. The dim of a kom ha'omazeh. The whole pasuk goes like this. Hashem tells, Vayim Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shoresev Manasecha, you're going to lie with your fathers, you're going to pass away. The kom ha'omazeh, and this people will rise up, v'zana achre elekei nechar earth, and they'll go astray after the getchkas of the inhabitants of the land, etc., and then there's going to be tremendous troubles for the Jewish people. So now, Rav Gamliel is telling them the word. Now Rashi points out, they have a couple of places in Shas where it points out there's five places in Torah where you have a word in a pasuk which can actually be understood as going with the first half of the pasuk or the second. It's called Chamisha Mekroes She'en Lahen Hechra. Five psukim where you can't tell which half of the pasuk a particular word belongs to. One of them is this word v'kam. Is it Hincha Shoichev Mamisecha v'kam? You will lie with your fathers and then you will eventually get up, which is Tchias Meisim. Or Hincha Shoichev Mamisecha, you're lying with your fathers, v'kam ha'amazen. This people will get up and they will, and then they'll start worshiping Abba Dezara. Now, on the face of it, what do you mean you don't know? You have the Trup tell you how to break up the psukim, how to break up the clauses. So in fact, the Ritva says on the Gemara in Yoma, which is one of the places where it brings this point, that the Ritva says over there what it means is Ein Lahem Hechra. Without the Trup, there would be Ein Lahem Hechra. With the Trup, though, then we can tell in the Trup, you have the word Hincha Shechev, the word Avisecha, has an asnacht on it, which clearly breaks it off from Vakom. So once you have that, then yeah, it's clear that Vakom belongs to the second half of the pasuk. But without that, you wouldn't know. In any case, Rav Gamliel is arguing to them that nevertheless the pasuk can also be read as saying Hincha Shechev Mamisecha Vakom, that you will get up. So in other words, Rav Gamliel is telling them that when we say Ein Lahem Hechra, means the word in the pasuk can actually go on both halves of it. It can be as if the word was actually repeated. Hincha Shoichev Mamisecha V'kom and V'kom Ha'omazeh. So if you say that V'kom refers to before, that's what Samar Shah is saying. You would still say the word V'kom refers also to the second half. It's as if the word was repeated. Hincha Shoichev Mamisecha V'kom, you, Moshe, will lie with your fathers and you will get up. And in addition, meanwhile, V'kom Ha'amazet, his people will get up and then go astray after the nations, after the Getchkas, etc. So Samar Shah explains, he's telling them the word V'kom can go with both halves of the pasuk. And in that case, you have a proof for Tzkes HaMeisim. But they said, Omer Le, V'dum V'kom Ha'amazet. No, maybe it's only the comma amazeh v'zana, and it doesn't go with the first half of the pasuk at all. You're telling us ein lahem hechra. In fact, we can tell you that the word v'kam clearly belongs to the second half of the pasuk. A different way of looking at it is that Rav Gamliel is focusing on the fact, why would it need to say v'kam anyway? If it just wants to say that Hashem is telling Moshe, you're going to pass away, and eventually the Jewish people are going to worship Abba Dezara, you don't need the word v'kam there at all. Hincha Shechem HaMesecha, V'yizna Ha'amazah Achre Elekei Nechar Aretz, etc. Why the word V'kom at all? So therefore, Rav Gamliel is explaining to them that the word V'kom is also meant to go, or if not also, or even exclusively, to go with the first half of the pasuk, and therefore it refers to Tzias HaMeisim, but they say not necessarily. Marsha also points out the idea would be, in other words, like this. What would it mean? Why indeed is the pasuk phrased that way? So like this. When a tzaddik passes away, Is it a loss for him? No, not really. He himself, his neshama, is going to Gan Eden, and he's going to very, very high levels. So for him, it's not a loss at all. It's a loss for the generation. So for you, Hincha Sheikh Ramasech of a Kam, for you, it's actually a great thing. You will lie with your fathers, you'll go to Gan Eden, and eventually you'll have Chesem Esim, and you'll come back. But meanwhile, the Kam Amazen, unfortunately, the people are going to start going bad because you're not going to be available anymore to tell them to do the right thing. In the end, by the way, Rashi points out on the Pasuk that, in fact, the Jewish people stayed faithful to Hashem all the times of Yeshua as well, which is 28 years after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, which shows that a person's Talmud, that Moshe's Talmud, Yeshua, is like him himself. So therefore, as long as Yeshua was alive, it is still a semblance of Moshe himself being alive. Okay. In any case, so he tried to bring them a proof from that, and they said that's not really a proof. Next, Mina Nevi'im, Rabbi Gamliel tried to bring a proof from a Pasuk in Nevi'im. Dichtiv, a Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Yichyu Meisecha, your dead will live. Seems very clearly, Tches Amesim. Nevelosi Yikumun, my dead bodies will get up. Rashi points out from the Gemara in Ksubas that the word Nevelosi refers even to Nefalim. The Beis and Pei are often interchangeable in Joshua's because they sound very similar. They're made and they're articulated in the same place in the mouth. And therefore, Nevelosi, we would understand as Nefelosi, which means even stillborn or babies who die shortly after birth, Rahman al-Atman, even they will come alive by Tres Amesim. And the pasuk continues, "Akitzu v'ranenu sheichnei ofer." This is where we have the famous expression, "Rise up and sing, you who dwell in the dust." Kital oras talecha, because your dew is a dew of light. This is the tal, the dew of tchias amesim. Some of the mafarshim on the pasuk point out the word oras can also mean a type of herbs or vegetables. So it means your dew is like the dew that revives vegetables and makes them grow. The same way the dew is going to cause the mesim to grow and come out of the ground by tchias amesim. And the pasuk finishes off, v'oretz refoyim tapil, and you will throw down to the ground the refoyim, where refoyim can mean the lifeless goyim, the ones who don't deserve tchias amesim. It can mean the powerful ones, like refoyim, the giants, etc. Anyway, the point is, yeah, very clearly in that pasuk, yichyu meisecha. So he says to them, there's a proof from Nevi'im for tchias amesim. And he says, look, you tzedukim accept Nevi'im as well, so what's the problem? But they answered back, V'duma Mesim Shech Yechezkel. No, because maybe Yeshaya is referring to the Mesim that Yechezkel brought along. We're going to learn later on the Perek in a couple of Dafim. We're going to talk about in some detail about the whole story with Yechezkel in the valley with the dry bones. We read it as the Haftarah of Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach. So very well. Yeshaya is 100 years before Yechezkel. He's saying Nevuah that there's going to be that example of Tchias HaMesim. Doesn't necessarily mean that's not a proof that there's going to be a general Tchias HaMesim for everybody, La'osid Lava. Maharsha, by the way, goes through and explains the phrasing in the pasuk. First of all, now again, Rashi is saying Yichyu Meisecha refers to the Mesim in Eretz Yisrael, and Nevelosi Yikumun Yichyu Meisecha means the Mesim in Eretz Yisrael, and Nevelosi Yikumun means even the stillborn and young babies. Then Maharsha points out, the Gemara in Ksubas tells us another opinion, that Nevelosi Yikumun would refer to people who passed away in Chutz Laaretz. And now why Meisecha? So Maharsha explains, Meisecha would be people who were killed directly bidei Shemayim, people who died of natural causes. And then Nevelosi Yikumun, Nevelosi then would refer, according to that, to people who were killed in various other ways, not bidei Shemayim, but rather bidei Adam. And in fact, he says, Maharsha says, so Meisecha, you're dead, they're called that, because Hashem himself is the one who caused them directly to be dead by killing them with natural causes. Nevelosi, Maharsha points out, literally means my corpse, my dead body. Well, Yeshaya himself is an example of that. He was killed by Menashe, as the Gemara tells us in Yevamos. So he can say on himself, Nevelosi Yikumun, my own dead body will get up again by Tesa Mason, along with all the other people who were killed, who were killed throughout all the millennia. And then the Talor is Kitzavan or Sheikh Neofa, the Talor is Talacha, as the Gemara explains there in Ksubas, the Mason of Chutzlar is going to roll through tunnels and come to Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to come in, then they're going to come, Maharsha explains actually, Talor is means a dew of light, so in other words, the dew of Chesem Mason is actually going to provide them light as they go through those dark tunnels on the way to Eretz Yisrael, that will give them light to show them the way, so that they'll be able to come to Eretz Yisrael, and then Va'oritz Refoyim Tapil, specifically Maharsha says Refoyim refers to Oig. Oig Melech Abashem Nisham Yeser Harfayim. So it refers to the land where Moshe is buried. So he will come alive. That's Chesed Mesim, and all the Mesim of Chutz La'aretz will come alive with him as well. So therefore, so the whole pasuk is clearly referring to Chesed Mesim, but nevertheless, the Tzedukim fobbed that off and said maybe it's only talking about the Mesim Shehechi Yechezkel. Minak Suvim, Rabbi Gamliel tried to bring them a proof from Suvim. Yechdiv, the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Vechikech, your palate, your the sweetness of what you say, kiyein hatoiv is like good wine, holach ledodi lemeisharim, that goes straight, that goes in the straight path to my beloved, doiv sifsi yishenim, which causes to which causes the lips of the ones asleep to move. So yishenim over here doesn't just mean people who are asleep, as in sleeping overnight. We mean people who are asleep. Yishenei offer, the people who are sleeping in the dust, who passed away. And the pasuk is telling us that there's going to come a point when doiv sifsi yishenim, that their lips are going to quiver and move, implying they're going to come alive again. So the chikas hiyena toy would refer to, Marshall points out, refers to, we have the famous yayin ha-mashruma ba'anova, the wine that's been preserved in its grapes from sheshes me'bereshes, which are going to be served la'asid lavoi. So now, this wine, unlike in olam hazeh, wine makes people drunk, and we learned earlier in the Masechta all about the negative effects of wine. This is on the contrary. This is holach ledodi l'meisharim. It brings them straight to where they need to go, to Eretz Yisrael, to Tzchias HaMesim, and doiv of sifsi yishenim, unlike regular wine, which puts people to sleep. This is adrabba. This wine of the Yayin HaMashumer is going to wake up those who are asleep and those who are dead and bring them back to life. And Dervis Sifsi Yashanim, that they're now going to be able to speak words of Torah, Divrei Elokim Chayim. So he says to them, there's evidence of Tchias HaMesim. But they answered back, maybe it doesn't mean the person as a whole comes alive again. It means that his lips quiver and move in the grave, as Kidur Rabbi Yechanan, as what Rabbi Yechanan says. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Meshum Rabbi Shimon Yehud Tzadok. Kol Mishenemra Halacha B'Shmoy Ba'olam Hazeh. Anybody who Halacha is said in his name in this world, Sif Soisav Dovas Bakever. His lips move and quiver in the grave. In other words, he's like, so to speak, he's partially alive then. Shenemra Dovas Sif Siyashenim. Now, it is a true drasha, but they're arguing that's the only meaning of it, and not that it refers to Tchias HaMesim at all. Now, what does this mean? Sifsosif Dovas Bakever. There's quite a lot of discussion among different Mephoshim about that. You have this expression is here. It's also in Yevamos. The Gemara brings it as Rabbi Yochanan says something about over there why he was upset that his Talmud Rabbi Lazar is not saying over Divrei Torah in his name. It's also brought in the Yerushalmi and Shkolim. So in each place, different Mephoshim have different takes on what it means exactly. It means that the neshama gets pleasure from it, from the fact that his words of Torah are being mentioned, and therefore that's as if the lips are moving, or the neshama is actually mislabish in the goof, and actually the lips literally do move, or even that the person, there's even an explanation that the person has like a mini tchias hamesim then, and has momentarily a tchias hamesim, and his lips move, and then afterwards that chayus goes away, and he goes back to being in the grave. Whatever the case, the point is, so the tzedukim are arguing that's all it means. It doesn't mean a general tchias hamesim. Ad sha'om alahem mikra zeh, until finally, Rabbi Gamliel told them the following pasuk. At the end of Ahayim Shemar, Asher nishba Hashem la'aviseichem la'seis lahem, that Hashem swore to your fathers to give to them. Lachem lo nema, it doesn't say to you, even though right before that in the pasuk it says lavei seichem to your fathers, elo lahem, but rather to them. Mikan tchias hamesim, and that's Torah. So there is a proof for in Torah for tchias hamesim, the fact that it doesn't say to give lachem, but rather lahem. Now, of course, then you have the question. Before we had Reb Simoi bringing from an earlier pasuk that mentioned lahem from the pasuk in Parshas Vayera. So why isn't Reb Gamliel using that pasuk? So Ben Yehoyada makes a couple of points on it. First of all, he says, here we have a shvur. Here we have an explicit word of a shvur. There we have, in general, Hashem asatzias yadi. Hashem says, I raise my hand, which is a lashon of shvur, but it's not so explicit. Here you clearly say, Hashem nishba Hashem. A shvur, you have to express very, very explicitly what you're going to say. So Mela over there, you could say, fine, lahem is just a general thing or whatever. It's not meant to be so precise, but here where it's nishba Hashem, then it has to be very precise.
How is lahem meaning that they're going to be alive?
Because lahem means to them. So it doesn't mean to you Jewish people. When the source says, Hashem nishba Hashem la'aviseichem, Hashem swore to your fathers. If it just meant that Hashem swore to your fathers to give you Eretz Yisrael, then it would be lahem. But it doesn't say Asher Lohem. So what's the Lohem? Who's the them? Means the others themselves.
Or needs to be to somebody that is alive.
No, not so much the Shavua needs to be to somebody that is alive, but the Shavua has to be very precise in its language, and therefore when it says that Hashem swore, Lo says Lohem, to give to them, so you can't say it means to them means Samazari. It means specifically to them, to the others, to whom Hashem originally made the Shavua, and as we said before, as Marashah points out from later in our parak, the fact is Hashem promised it to them over and over and didn't actually give it to them, B'poyol, so now Hashem is going to give it to them B'poyol by Tfeis Mason. So therefore, so you see there's a solid proof for that from that. The Yesh Emim and Amikra Azeh, others say, another point also, Ben Yehoyada says, he's telling the Tzedukim, listen, you guys also say Krishna every day. So how is it? Look at this. You're saying this Pasuk every day, and you never even realize that it's hinting at Tchias Amesim, and you're asking where it's from. The Yesh Emim and Amikra Azeh, Shinema, or Omalahem, others say he told them on based on a different Pasuk. The Atam Advekim Vashem Alekechem, you who cleave, you who are attached to Hashem, your God, Chayim Kulchem Hayoim, you are all alive as of today. So what does this mean, hayoim? Chayim, chayim kochem. So it means, ma hayoim kochem kayomim, just like now all of you are alive, aflo, olam haba, kochem kayomim, the same way, in olam haba, you will all be alive. So chayim kochem hayoim, you will be alive then, just like you are now.
Generations that came before this.
No, what we're saying is Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people during their first generation as a people. He's telling them, right now, all of you are alive. And in the future, you will live just like you're living now. Neshama v'guf. Marsha brings, based on a different Gemara in the Gemara, that he's telling them, there's going to come a time when everybody else is going to be dead. There's going to come a point, the Gemara is going to talk about later in the Perek, a time when the world itself ceases to exist as we know it. And even then, Chaim Kol Chamayim, you will also be alive even then. Chaim Nitzchiim. So therefore, so that's another way of bringing the proof from the Pasuk that there is in fact going to be a Tchias Mason. Next group, Shalom Ruimi and Mr. Yeshua ben Hananya. We have the Reish of Sorok from Amar Aleph, and we have the Shin from the word Geshem. So the Ruimi and Master of Yeshua. So the Master of Yeshua ben Hananya, we find many times where Rabbi Yeshua and other Chachamim visited Rome to talk to the emperors and the senators and whatever to take away Xeris from the Jewish people or for different other reasons. So on one of those occasions, they asked him this question. Minayin Shakodesh, they asked him two questions together. Minayin Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mechayem Meisim, V'yodeya Masha Osid Liyas. How do we know that Hashem will bring alive the dead and that Hashem knows what's going to happen in the future? Now, what do you mean, how does Hashem know what's going to happen in the future? The entire Tanakh is one big thing of Nebuah, one after the other, of what people are, of what's going to happen. So a couple of Mephoshim explained that their question was really, how do we know that Hashem knows also what depends on people's Bechira Chofshis? Now, we know there's the famous question, how does the Eidishter know, like this, we know the Eidishter knows what everybody is going to do, but a person still has Bechira Chofshis, and it's very difficult to understand how that can be. How is it Hashem's knowledge doesn't force us to do one thing or the other? And the Rambam stresses in Hilchos Truva, nevertheless, that's how it is. It's a basic concept of Yiddishkeit that a person has Bechira Chofshis, and it's also a basic concept of Yiddishkeit that the Eidishter knows that everything that's going to happen. How it works, listen, the Rambam says, we can't understand how Hashem thinks. The Ravid, by the way, doesn't like that I'm writing about that at all. He says he brought up the question, he didn't give a good answer. In any case, them's the facts. And now, so one explanation is that the Romans are asking specifically, how do you know that Hashem knows what people are going to do, even though it depends on the Bechira Chofshis. So he tells them, Tavayu and Amikra Azeh. Well, both of them you can answer from the same pasuk. What we quoted before, Shinema, Vayyema Hashem Moshe, Hincha Sheikha Vamesecha, Vekomha Amazeh Bezana. Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to lie with your fathers, and this people will get up and then stray. And we said before, the word Vekom can also go with the first half of the pasuk, Hincha Sheikha Vamesecha Vekom. You will lie down with your fathers, you will pass away, and you will get up. So there you go, you have both of them then, given again that the word Vekom can go with both halves of it. Then it can mean, if it goes with the first half, it tells us about Tchias Amesim. When you put it with the second half, it shows that Hashem knows what people are going to do, that Hashem knows they're going to go astray. There that Amam also, by the way, points out, it doesn't mean, for example, I mean, Hashem says they're going to go astray. It means in general, among the people, there are going to be some who are going to go astray. No individual person can say, well, Hashem said it's going to happen, therefore I'm potter from Onesh. It doesn't work that way. Every individual person has his own individual bechira, whether to be part of that Ha'am Azer or not. In any case, so he says to them, so you can see both things from the same pasuk. Well, they say v'dumah v'koma amazevazana, but maybe the word v'koma only goes with the second half of the pasuk, and not with the first half. So there's nothing about tchesa mesim. Amalahu, so he tells them, fine, nekotum yopal v'yadaiku, fine. At least you can hold half in your hand. At least you have half the answer over here. V'yadai, masha osalias, you can clearly see from this pasuk that Hashem knows what's going to happen, including also things that are dependent on bechira chofshis. Now, what is he? Itmanami, Omer Rabbi Yechon, Bashim Rabbi Shim Menichoy. So it was said also that Rabbi Yechon said the same Jerusha in the name of Bashim Menichoy. Minayin Shakarish Bochum Machayim Mason, Vyadeh Masha Osabidis, Shinem Hincha Sheikh Mamasech of a Kong. Now, an obvious question is, first, there are a couple of obvious questions. Are, first of all, why are the Romans putting these two questions together? What does one have to do anything with the other? And what does Rabbi Yeshua mean? Is he saying, fine, you know what, you're right, there's no source in Torah for the one, but at least there's a source for the other? So as far as why the two questions go together, so Ben Yehoyada explains, the question is as follows. You're telling us, say the Romans, that there's such a thing as Tchias Amesim, but how does Hashem know that the people who come alive by Tchias Amesim aren't going to go later on and do Averis again? So then what would be the point? What would be the point of bringing them alive in Tchias Amesim? So therefore the two things really go together. If Hashem doesn't know what's going to happen, then it's too risky maybe to do Tchias Amesim. So Rabbi Yeshua brings them this pasuk. They say, but you only have one proof from it. He says, fine, but at least you can see it. Damn, Asha also leis. And therefore there's no risk in the matter. Therefore Hashem can bring them alive. That's Tchias Amesim. And there's no concern that they're going to end up doing Avedis. So therefore, in effect, he's telling them, even though explicitly in the pasuk you only have the answer to one of them, in fact, you can deduce the answer to the other one as well. Maharsha explains like this. He's saying, when he says, Nekotim yapagam yadaychu, he says, that, fine, it's true that word v'kom in the pasuk can go with the first half or the second half, like we said before, but because ein lehechra, there's no way of knowing for sure which half of the pasuk it goes in with, so therefore you really do have mechza, so you have half the answer, you have a half an answer to the question of tchias amesim. Maybe you can learn it from this pasuk, maybe not, depending on how you parse the pasuk. And you also have the clear proof from it, the yadeh masha osad liyas. Another one of the Mefarshim on Ein Yaakov gives a different explanation of how the two questions go together and what's this nekot miyapal v'miyadaychu. He says like this. Look, the Eibush is the teva toiv lahetiv. Hashem made the world in order to do good for us. But the fact is, we see that the world is not necessarily always so good. Now, why is that? Is it because, maybe it means Hashem doesn't know what's going to happen. Hashem planned that it should all be good, but people messed up and Hashem didn't know that it was going to be that way. Or you could say that not. You could say Hashem does know everything, but then that requires us to say there must be an Olam Haba, there must be a Tchias Amesim, when everything will be fixed up and all the troubles that we had in this world are going to go away. So therefore they put these two things together, and when Rabbi Yeshua tells them, when Rabbi Yeshua gives them the pasuk, and they say, yeah, but it means maybe only one thing, then he says, fine, but you see from that, Yedei Masha Osad Lias, clearly Hashem knows what's going to happen in the future. Therefore, Hashem knew when he created the world that people are going to mess up, and nevertheless he created it, and nevertheless, Tevat and Hashem created it with a purpose, and that purpose is going to be accomplished by Tchias Amesim, and therefore, after all, you do have a proof for that also, that logically there has to be a Tchias Amesim, otherwise the whole thing doesn't make sense. And in fact, that is one of the explanations. Why is it, we talked about yesterday about the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So we have many of them. We understand why they're fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. Of course, it's fundamental to know that there's an Eibishter, to know that he's one, to know that he doesn't have a goof, et cetera, to know that the Eibishter gave a Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, et cetera. Why is Tchias Amesim so important that it counts as one of the 13, and a person who denies it is denying a basic Ikr of Yiddishkeit? That's why, because one thing is, without Tchias Amesim, the whole reason why the Eibishter made a world and put us in it doesn't make sense, doesn't fit. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tanya, more on this topic of proofs for Tchias Amesim. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi, the Dover Zes Ziyafti Sifrei Kosim or Tzdukim. As far as the following matter, I showed that the books, the Sifrei Torah of the Kosim or Tzdukim are falsified. So that what? Ziyafti. Ziyafti means I showed that they were forged. I forged them, but I demonstrated that they're forged, that there's falsity in them. So the Girsa in the Ein Yaakov is Kusim. The Girsa in the printed Gemara is Zukin, but it seems that may have been changed by the censors. We are, in fact, talking about the Kusim over here, the ones, the infamous Kusim who were brought to Eretz Yisrael by Sancheirev, and they adopted certain parts of Yiddishkeit, and in particular, they have a Torah which is somewhat similar to ours, although with a lot of differences. Earlier in the Masechta, we had something about where the Gemara had said that originally the Torah was written in Ksav Ivri, in the ancient Hebrew script, and it was written in Lashon Kodesh later on. In the times of Ezra, they got a new script, the Ksav Ashuri, this lettering that we're familiar with, and the Lashon Arami, because at that point the Jews were speaking Lashon Arami, but the Jewish people picked out for themselves, we'd rather have Ksav Ashuri and Lashon Kodesh, and they left the other one, Ksav Ivri and Aramaic, to the Kusim. So, in fact, Adai Yamazet, of course, they have their version of the Torah, which are, there's a lot of parts of it are in Lashon Kodesh, like ours, but there's parts of it that are more in Aramaic style. There's parts of it with these individual words and phrases that are more in Aramaic style, which, you know, they came originally from Babel, so that kind of makes sense. And they continued to use that ancient Ksav Ivri in a modified form. Adai Yamazet, you ever visit Har Gerizim, you can find on some of their buildings and things like that, you can find inscriptions in that script. Anyway. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi points out, I demonstrated that their Torah is forged, that there's alterations in them. Now they claimed, like the Tzedukim, we said before, that there's no source in Torah for Tchiasa Mason. And in fact, the Radatz Hoffman points out in his Trubis Melamed Lahoyel, he points out he had an opportunity to look at some of the writings of the Kusvim. By that time, they had been, in his time, we're talking the early 1900s, early 1900s, they had been published for scholarly use, and he was able to get a copy of it. And you talk about a number of the Pesukim that we said before. No, they didn't disappear. They're still around nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, but the Radatz Hoffman didn't travel to Eretz Yisrael to interview them in person. But he lived in Germany. He was the head of the Beis Medrash Rabbanim there in Berlin. But by his times, their Torah, their writings have been published, so he was able to look at them. And in fact, you have a number, he points out, that actually a number of the Pesukim that we said before, in fact, are altered in this Sefer Torah. For example, that Pesuk at the end of Kedishma, at the end of Harim Shemaya, in their Sefer Torah, it's L'man Yubri Yimechem Mevinechem Alo Adam Asher Nishma Hashem La'Vesechem L'Seis Lochem. So they actually have the word Lochem instead of Lahem to take out any potential reference to Tzias Amazing.
Yes,
what? No, and so whatever. And the same thing in a number of other places. You have a number of other places where they altered things to take out the hints and references to Tzias Amazing that they were talking about before. Not only that, there's other alterations in their Torah as well, which are also reflected here and there in Shas. For example, famously, they believe that Har Gerizim is the place, as Amokam Asher Yivcha Hashem. You know, in our parasha over and over, it says Amokam Asher Yivcha Hashem, the place that Hashem will choose, and it never names it as Yerushalayim. The Kusim claim that it's Har Gerizim, and they have in a number of places in their Torah, they actually added words over there to explicitly mention Har Gerizim in that connection. I think they even have it as one of the Aseres Hadibros or something. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi points out, you forged your Torah, you've altered your Torah, but you haven't accomplished anything with it, because there's one thing that you missed, which is a clear hint to Tchias Amesim, and you missed it, and you didn't say that, and therefore, for example, you put Lachem instead of Lahem, but what good does it do? You have a different pasuk that shows Tchias Amesim, and which shows that what you don't believe is false. So, says Rabbi Elazar to them, Harehu Omer, but you have a posik, he chores ha-nefesh ahi, the posik describes a person who's as Hashem u-megadif, who reviles Hashem, which we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a machloikas, whether that refers to somebody who curses Hashem, or whether somebody who worships Avodah Zarah, such as by singing to it. Anyways, the posik says, he chores ha-nefesh ahi, that soul will be cut off, avoinava, it's sin, isn't it? So, Rabbi Yosi pointed out to them, what's that expression? He chores tikores means a person is chayav chores for that in this world. When it says avoinava, his sin will still be on him. La'imas, when is it going to be? If he's cut off from this world, and that's it, then there's no place for his oven to still be on him. Lav olam haba, it must be in olam haba. So therefore, so you have a proof for the concept of olam haba, for the concept of tchias amesim and olam haba. So it means, in other words, like this, that the person already suffers charis in this world, and therefore the pasuk is avoinava. Marsha points out that the feminine, avoinava, is referring to the neshama. So now you're going to have the neshama is still going to have to be judged in the future as well, and not come alive by tzeis amesim. So the Gemara says, omelet a papa labaya, but a papa asks abaya, why did he have to bring them the proof that way? Why didn't he say the very double expression, ikaris tikaris itself, represents two different karis in olam hazeh and olam habah? And the answer is, he couldn't do that. If he tried that, then the kusim would have just replied to him, divrei Torah, koloshim ne'adam, the Torah speaks in normal human language, and though when the Torah was given, that was the style of speaking, where you'd often say a double expression like that to intensify something that will definitely happen. You have many examples like that in the Torah, ochol toichol, daber yadaber, etc. You have many expressions like that. So they would have said that doesn't mean two different karis. Okay. So the Gemara points out, ketanoi. There's actually a machlokas tanoim about that. When it says Rabbi Akiva says the double expression does in fact teach us about Koris in this world and in the next world. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, what Rabbi Shmuel says, Balei Karnemer, Hashem Hu Magadif Nichrusa. But you have another time in that pasuk where it also says the word Koris. This person blasphemed Hashem, and therefore he gets Koris. So if you're going to tell me you learn from the Nichrusa and he Koris and Tikoris, the Chidimol Elamim Yesh, are there three worlds? There's only two. There's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So you can't learn like that. Now, Anaf Yosef points out, to be sure, in a way there are. You have this world, you have the world of Neshamas, and you have the world, and you have Gan Eden, and then you have Tchias HaMesim. But he says because the last two, Gan Eden and Tchias HaMesim, really depend on, one depends on the other. So therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel is saying, you don't really have three times to work with, you only have two. Ella, so rather, Rabbi Shmuel says, v'nichrasa ba'olam hazeh, so the word v'nichrasa refers to that the person gets karis in this world, he karis la'olam haba, and the word he karis means that he gets karis also in olam haba, unless he does tshuva, as the Gemara is going to say, he karis tikaris, and why the double expression, he karis tikaris, divrei Torah, koloshim ne'adam, because the Torah speaks in common human language. This is b'chlal, in many places in Shas, you have Rabbi Akiva gaushin something from double expressions like that, and Rabbi Shmuel will say, divrei Torah, koloshim ne'adam. Okay. So in any case, so both of them are learning. So we see that they're arguing whether you can say that hikaris tikaris is just a style of speaking, or whether it actually refers to two different karisin. In any case, neither of them is darshaning anything about karis from avoinava, whereas we said Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi told the kusim that from that you can see that there's a karis la'olam haba. So bein Rabbi Shmuel, bein Rabbi Akiva, avoinava my avilei. So what do Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva do with the words avoinava? And the answer is, they use it to teach us what it says in a braisa. Yochel afilo also tshuva. No, avoy navar is not poetic.
No, but
most of all,
surrounding one, same thing. It's like avoy navar.
No, it has to have a meaning. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi, that has meaning. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi, he's telling the kusim. Yeah, but that's the thing. So if you already have ikaris tikaris, then you don't need necessarily avoy navar. So again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi, ikaris tikaris and avoy navar are the two karis, one in this world, one in the next world. According to Rabbi Akiva, ikaris and tikaris are the two karis. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, v'nichrasa and ikaris are the two karis. The Gemara explains. Rashi explains, based on what we learned earlier in the Masechta, and also it's also in the Gemara and Krisus, that basically the question, the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, basically boils down to what is the Megadif of that pasuk? Is it referring to somebody who worships Avodah Zarah? And in that case, we need it to teach us the Chlal, that a person who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayiv Koris, because you wouldn't necessarily know it from anywhere else in the Torah, or is it talking about somebody who blasphemes and curses Hashem, and again, you need a source in the Torah to tell us that concept. So how they understand the word v'nichrus over there is going to depend on that, whether we use it for Xer Shava, etc. Anyway, so the question is, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, neither one is using avoinava, so what do they do with it? So they use it to teach us what it says in the following braisa. Yochel afilo osat tshuva, you would think the person is chayiv koris, even if it's for Avodah Zarah, or blaspheming Hashem, as the case may be, even if he did tshuva. No, tamad loyma, avoinava, that is why the pasuk says, its sin is in it. Meaning, this applies only when the sin is still in it, when the person has not done tshuva. He does tshuva, then he's potter from karis. So you have three different ways, in short, you have three different ways among the Tanoim of learning these psukim and learning where we see that there's an olam haba and that there can be karis in it as well, and the concept that, on the other hand, the person can do tshuva and be potter from karis. In fact, you look at the pasuk over there, the word avoyna usually would be, the hey of avoyna would usually have a mafik in it. You would usually, it would have to be pronounced avoyna, meaning it's avoyna. But here, actually, this is one of those rare places where it doesn't. So it just means a sin is in it, meaning as long as there's a sin, it doesn't even, so now when it's not the person, when it's not its sin anymore, when the person does not have that sin, then, meaning he's done tshuva, then the punishment goes away. So we'll continue tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. We'll continue with more of these challengers and answers about Tchias Amesim. What? Yeah, two words. Avoy Navoy. So what? Sometimes. Okay, sometimes you have things in Torah. Sometimes you have dinim in Torah that you can learn from one single letter in the Torah. Yeah, a din that Dama Sheretz Kivsara, you learn from one single letter in the Torah, Vav or Hey, according to different opinions. So yes, you can have two words over here, Avoy Navav, and from them we learn an entire concept. Yeah. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogola Chavezav, Chavez Menach Vav. So here we're just talking about Olam Tchiyah. So today is in fact about that in Olam Abba, I mean in the world of Tchiyah Samesim. So as the Gemara says, Ein Ber Loyachilav Loyshia. There's no eating and drinking in it. So that's where the Rambam, by the way, gets his proof that the Olam Abba refers primarily to the world of the Shamas. The Shamas don't eat and drink, so therefore there's no eating and drinking. According to the Ramban, that means, in other words, that the bodies are going to be on a higher level, so the eating and drinking, will be doing the first stage after the initial Tchias HaMesim, but after that, the bodies themselves will be on a higher level and not need it. So there's not that. There's no Piri Vidivya. There's no business. There's no jealousy, no hatred, no competition. Tzadikim Yoshim, the Tzadikim are going to stick. Their crowns on their heads, whereas Rambam points out the crown refers to the knowledge of all the courses that they've gained during their lifetime, which is metaphorically like a crown on their head. The nenim is zivashchina, and they enjoy and then get pleasure from the zivashchina, and they never go back to their dust and their kayim la'olam. They continue to exist forever. That's Olam Abba, that's Olam Atchiyah in a nutshell. We were talking about yesterday in Hilchos Tefillin, we were talking about the dinim of how you should put on the shoyad and the shorosh. We said that there's a reason based on the Zohar to put the tefillin shoyad on sitting and the tefillin shorosh standing, and then you have the general minig Ashkenaz to put them on both standing, and that is minig Chabad. So the question is, you have something that says in the Gemara and you have something that says in the Zohar, which one do you follow? So the Alter Rebbe gives us, here's a general rule. When you have something that in Kabbalah, and in Sifrei Kabbalah and in Zohar, when they argue with the Gemara, or with the poskim who get their conclusions from the Gemara, so then you have to follow the Gemara or the poskim. Nevertheless, now this is, by the way, this is what the Alter Rebbe writes here in Shulchan Aruch. The Shaar HaKodol brings from Reb Hillel Tarasher that the Alter Rebbe actually at different times said that, no, you follow the Mekabalim. And Reb Hillel asks, so which is it? You follow the poskim or you follow the Mekabalim? And the answer is, Alpi Nigla, you follow the poskim, but Alpi Kabbalah, you have to follow the Mekabalim. That's how it is. That's how the Alter Rebbe explained it. So in fact, we have a number of times when in fact we do follow the Zohar and Kabbalah, even when it seems to be against Halacha. Anyway, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, if the Mekabalim are Machmir, then you should also be Machmir. But we can't force people to be Machmir based on Kabbalah. More generally, the Alter Rebbe says also, if you have something, if you have a topic which it doesn't mention in Gemara or Poskim, even if it's mentioned in Kabbalah, then we can't force people, people to accept it. Actually, the Rebbe explains, as far as that business about Alpi, that the Mekabalim say we should follow Kabbalah, the Rebbe actually explains what it means is, the Alter Rebbe doesn't just say, fine, we're going to toss out what it says in the Gemara and follow the Mekabalim. What it means is, we're going to work to find Alpi Kabbalah, to find an explanation that fits Alpi Nigla for what it says in Kabbalah. And then we can follow that, because after all, there is a basis for it in Nigla, and you have many, many places in Sichas where in fact, it ever goes through it like that, and explains when you have something based on Kabbalah and finds a source for it in Torah Shabbat Sahab. I mean, in Nigla, in Torah Shabbat Sahab, or in Gemara, or in any part of Nigla in general. Yeah.